This section focuses on the topic of discerning fact from fiction. I want to revisit this idea of discerning the truth from untruths. The world today is awash in information. The internet and the advent of mobile communications has changed the way that people live and communicate forever, or at least until an EMP takes us back 100 years, hopefully not. The way that we find information has changed so dramatically that most people do not have the slightest idea of its effects on their own life and the way we live at large. People have lost what already they had as a challenged ability to concentrate through distractions from text messages, emails, and incessant telephone calls. For those of us that are older, we remember the day when if you called someone at their home and they weren't there, the phone rang. That's what happened. That was it. Nothing more, nothing less. If they weren't there or they decided not to answer the phone, you either called back or you waited until you saw them. That was it. That was your only option. If you really needed to talk to someone, you went to them and had a face-to-face conversation. Then I remember getting my first answering machine recording device that had a reel-to-reel tape in it and was rented at, I believe it was $6.95 a month from AT&T before the breakup. And it would go clunk, 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 clunk. Then I got a new one, and it had a cassette tape in it. It was awesome, and it had one for the answering message and one for the recording of the messages. And it got a half an hour, and that was all you got, and you did what you did. And when someone would call in on it, you would hear it go clunk, 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 and it would answer with whatever the recorded message, and it would cut them off at a half of a minute. And now, people have one, sometimes more than one cell phone on them at all times. When someone wants to get them, even for the most inane reasons, boom, they're on the phone with them, the phone rings, there's no peace, there's no clear thought, there's no ability to ruminate upon the day's activities or to plan or to meditate, or God knows you can't even think to yourself because the minute you do, the phone will ring. In most instances, the question that you have to ask yourself on the side of that is, while we have all this wonderful communication, how much of it is earth-shattering? How much of it would your life have changed if you did without it? But the overarching problem is, this means that the instant something happens, we know about it. Now, in a survival situation, that may be life and death, so that's great. On the other hand, if you've become dependent upon those means as your only input for sources of data, and that stops working, like when we had outages in the cell phone coverage after a derecho, or in New York City after Sandy, and along the East Coast of the United States during Sandy, and in New York City and other areas that were hard struck, or 911, these communications means were totally interrupted. If you want to see how destructive it is when a whole organization is totally dependent upon one means of communication, look at the drama and disaster that resulted in the first few hours of 911's incidents when the brand new communication system that had just been put in place for the police and fire and rescue in New York City, and its primary point for its antenna tower was on the top of the North Tower. And within minutes of the first incident, it was cut off and they lost all their communication from the repeater and only were able to call back and forth on channels amongst themselves in limited distance and effectiveness. When you're in the city, that's a train wreck. This is a lesson that you learn from. alternative means of communication, alternative means of gathering information. That could go back to what we did before, crystal radios. Sometimes, though, the overwhelming amount of information influx can be a double-edged sword. Like I said, it's very popular for people to say media is so bad now. In fact, the media has been bad for a really long time. The beauty of the advent of the internet is that with high-speed communications and data flow, you can fact-check that information in nearly real time now from your phone in your hand wherever you stand. In addition, you can search historical resources to place the current claims in context. I never watch the news or TV ever, even TV shows, without constantly going to my phone and Googling something if I hear a word I haven't heard, or if I hear about something that I don't think is accurate in my recollection and I go to check it to know whether I'm wrong or they were wrong, because this strengthens my knowledge base. As a seasoned trained interrogative interviewer, I learned to ask a few basic questions when analyzing a person's actions and words. Always begin by asking, what was their intent? Of course, sometimes determining that intent may be much more difficult than you wish, but with a little practice, you can get pretty good at it. The key is, two people can get the same end result, but their intent totally alters how you handle that problem. If someone drove down the street and they were angry and they saw people on the curb and they jumped the curb and ran over them and crashed into a pole, or if someone was driving along and someone smashed into them and caused them to careen off the road and smash into the people on that same corner and into the pole, it does not change the outcome. It does not change the result of the action, but it massively changes how you handle that in the aftermath. Are you directly focused on the injured and those who need help as a result of being hurt in it? Or do you need to put equal amount of time and effort into subduing the person who did the damage? If they did it on purpose, they may be trying to start the car back up and run over more people or get away. You have to know, or maybe they're going to jump out and do more physical damage in person. All of these things are critically important to know, be watching for, paying attention for. And the second part of it is to look at whether they're manipulating. Listen to the words. Listen to more than one sentence of the words. If it is something that they are telling you that goes along with things that agree with your basic ideals, do not make the mistake of accepting them out of hand without question, because you will get caught up and in trouble, because if you don't check and you're wrong, or they were wrong, and you run off on an angle, you have just at least damaged your credibility and your stance already. And more importantly, you could cause negative long-term effects to happen as a result of an inaccuracy. One of the most common things that people do when they get it wrong, when they present facts or things as facts that turn out not to be facts, is that they, and this goes to intent, you have some who look and go, if we only tell them this and take it out of context, maybe show some other story in a completely different setting before it to set the tone, and then cut right in with that story and that quote of that person, it will change the expected perception of what that person meant. Because you have lost the intent, you have lost the context, And context is critical. Every single thing that you do is based upon input that you take from the world around you. Listening to someone, hearing someone, they ask you something, they tell you something, they indicate to you you need this or want this. You watch the TV and they indicate that something's happened and that you need to do this, but you must go the next step. Who are they? Where do they come from? What is their normal status? Do they agree with your perceptions? Perception is reality. Reality is perception. As humans, we have many means of obtaining, processing, testing, verifying, and vetting information. Human communication skills allow us, if we train ourselves, being careful and respectful, to attain a much higher level of understanding and awareness of our environment, and even some of us may become enlightened from it. The key to processing raw data reliably and effectively is to glean the raw data, log it, plot a course forward, and a process of vetting that information. That means someone just told you that this is going to make you grow hair. You go online and you look it up and you look at reviews on the product and you look. The other day, I saw the most awesome thing I can't stand when I come to my front door at night. The bugs all gather around the light that's precariously perched within a foot of my front door. It means I bring in mosquitoes and flies every time I open the door at night. They had a product for $12.99 that they were advertising for $49.99 on one site. Ooh, we'll give you two for free. And then I found it for $12.99 somewhere else. And I go and look at it. It's an LED light bulb with a built-in bug zapper. So I thought, wow, that's a really great thing. They were selling it for two, basically, for $49.99. I found it for $12.99. Maybe I should get it. I went and read the reviews, and out of 400 and some reviews, they were almost all negative, saying it did not work. Oh, okay. Wrong angstrom light, didn't draw the bugs. You could have put a regular light in there and it would have drawn the bugs. And then the zapper didn't work. They were just all floating around and flying around it anyway and standing on it and nothing happened. Out it goes. This is the simple thing that you can do with everything. You can't remain at the beginning, though, simply accepting data and parroting it. This is dangerous. You must learn to absorb and develop supporting facts and experiential data. That means things you experience, things that you get from reviews. Allow you to refine your initial perceptions with logic, not emotions. Oh, I want that. I need that. No. You need to use logic and facts in order to assure your direction is accurate and reliable. Through research, prior to going out on a course, it is advisable. Make sure that what you picked is on the side of the road, was a pretty flower and not poison ivy. Every day, there's another example that crosses my path of how people have never developed, even in their 60s, the ability to maintain a balanced perspective. Every challenge and piece of information that people are presented in life tests their skill of critical thinking. Those who have some level of skill generally have a much better experience in life than those who have not. People say it all the time. I hear them say it constantly. I just don't understand why this happens to me all the time. I don't know. Maybe you should have gone and checked it out before you decided to give them your credit card or to say yes. The ability to be broad-minded, not stupid, but balanced enough to know that there's more than one way to do something right. Even if some are better than others, it can save you a lot of aggravation and broaden your skills and knowledge. What is comfortable and possible for you is not always the same for someone else. Having the skill to understand that there are many points of view that create differing assessments of the same scene depending upon a person's perspective is critical. On my website, and I'll put a link to it, I have a page under critical research skills on the second page that has an article about perspective. And on it, you'll see a picture. It's the same picture, and it looks like the house is tipping over. And then the picture is turned on an angle, and you see that the house is just on a really steep slope, and all the other houses are right next to it, and it's actually directly upright. Everything is a matter of perception. You have to be able to hold your emotion and responses. Your brain uses hints from images and the perceptions that you have in order to get it in your mind's eye to give you what you believe is reality. Merely turning on the light can change everything. Stripped of the proper context, everything looks different. Everything can be taken different. It's really critical. We see this every day in the news, constantly with our president. They'll report something that happened, one sentence that he said, take it completely out of context, and the whole thing turns into a disaster. When you put it into context, it becomes a non-starter. They do this to you. People do this all the time. Sometimes manipulation is as simple as getting you to watch TV or listen to a radio program. Often the facts, quote unquote, have been carefully selected, and though not tainted, they're placed in an order and focused specifically with the intent to cause you to act accordingly. Now the agenda could be as simple as moving you to eat McDonald's or Wendy's, or it could be to buy a product or a service. The advent of computers and other technology have increased the level of information saturation and the ease by which you can be bombarded by, quote, facts. It's really important. Those overload of facts can often cause people to feel overwhelmed and just give in. Don't give in. Take time. Step back, take a deep breath, count to 10, look at it, listen, look at the context, find it somewhere else. It's amazing. On YouTube, you can go find anything. Don't look at the ones that were from some other news thing. Look at the one that's the actual 1 hour long presentation and go find it and listen to it in context. Listen to and see the film, the video of an accident from the start. When the incident happened in New York City recently, a suspect came through a traffic light, drove up through the curb, reversed down the road, and drove on the sidewalk, running over people left and right, actually swerving to catch them as he went down at very high speeds for 3 blocks. In the reports that were on the news and the report back from the mayor of New York City, they said that it was just a guy who was drunk. But if you watched on the video of the surveillance video that was widely available on YouTube, you got a whole different picture of what exactly happened. Everything is a matter of context and perception. That's how we'll end this segment. Until next time.